Isaiah chapter 3 in your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The final years before Israel went into captivity were characterized by social and spiritual and family turmoil. Natural resources and national resolve were in short supply. Hope and peace and prosperity were things of the past. But the most critical shortage of the day is expressed in verses 2 and 3. Godly men were in short supply. Let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. Do you see a parallel between that time and our time today? Christ warned us about this satanic strategy. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Here's what he said in verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Not only in the world, but also, ladies and gentlemen, in the church, Satan has succeeded in binding many strong men, good men. He is now plundering those houses in which he has bound the father. Man is to be the protector and the provider in his house. Dr. James Dobson said this: the Western world stands at a great crossroads in its history. It is my opinion that our survival as a people will depend upon the presence or absence of masculine leadership in millions of homes. I believe with everything within me that fathers hold the key to the preservation of the family and our culture. And ladies and gentlemen, I agree. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, God said this: I sought for a man to stand in the gap? What are the qualities of a man that God is seeking, especially today? I have some thoughts. First of all, he is seeking men with perfect hearts. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 9, chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and look at verse 9. The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The word perfect does not mean sinless. The word perfect means something completely different. Rather, a wholehearted, single-minded sincerity about him. Early in his reign, David assessed the condition of his troops. Zebulun had 50,000 men who were expert in war, more than any other tribe. But that's not what made them valuable. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, please. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And look at verse 33. Here's what made them valuable. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000 which could keep rank, they were not of a double heart. Perfect doesn't mean perfection. It means someone who has a wholehearted, single-mindedness, sincerity about them. Early in his reign, David assessed the troops and he came up with that they were not of a double heart. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Men with perfect hearts toward God have settled the issue. They will serve God. They will obey God. They will love God. They will not flirt with the love of money or the love of self or the love of pleasure or the love of this world or the praise of men. Dads, have you settled that in your life? That you're not going to be a man double-minded. Second of all, he looked for men with principle whose lives are governed not by preference but by conviction. Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. And let's begin reading in verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We are to serve God with a willing heart. And part of that, we ought to be willing to stand alone. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse 16. Paul said this, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. We need men that are willing to stand alone. Please understand, Paul is not young when he wrote that. In verse 13, he talks about a cloak. He was talking about, I'm cold. He's in the Mamertine prison. He said, bring me my coat. I'm cold. I'm old. Look at verse 21. Do thy diligence to come before winter. I'm getting cold. Please. But he was willing to stand alone. Second of all, you have to be willing to suffer. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And look at verse 33. He said, partly, whiles ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and affliction, and partly, whiles ye became companions of them that were so used. You have to be willing to suffer if you are going to be one of those men for which God is looking to stand in the gap. And then you have to be willing to be gentle. Go back to the left in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Willing to be gentle. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Teach your sons, gentlemen, to treat every woman like they want their daughter to be treated someday. Third, we are to be men of purity. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Men of purity. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Your prayer for your life ought not to be famous or to be rich, but rather to be holy before God. Purity in the heart with our thoughts. It all begins right there. External expressions only reveal the heart. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that's true with you, and that's true with me. And that's why Paul said we are to bring every thought into subjection, because our mind can get off course and defile us. Here's some advice on how to be pure. First of all, don't be gentle with your emotions. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't be gentle with your emotions. Second of all, don't be weakened by your situation. Don't get to the place where you say things, my wife just doesn't understand me. My wife just doesn't meet my needs. Let me tell you something, guys. Work on changing you. You can't change your wife. You change you. Third, don't be deceived by persuasion. Let's go to Joseph. Every morning for a period of time, Sister Potiphar came out and tried to seduce Joseph, a young man, a good-looking guy. And every morning, Joseph said no to his boss's wife, to the point where he had to run out into the street. And when he did, of course, he was sent to prison. Don't be deceived by persuasion. Joseph wasn't. And then last of all, don't be confused by the immediate results. Joseph, doing what was right, was sent to prison for years in a horrible prison in Egypt. Do the right thing no matter what happens. Fourth, we need to be men with perception. Back to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Look at verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. We need to understand this morning that we are in a mess in America, and we need wisdom to deal with it. The ability to make decisions, to chart a course, tenacity to see it through. You've heard this all your life. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Keep on going, men. And then last of all, we are to be men of prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We have a priestly obligation today to plead with God on behalf of our wives and our children and our churches and our nation. I have asked God before I die that He would promote me to the full-time ministry of prayer. Joshua, that old statesman and soldier, in characteristic candor, spoke for his entire family humbly and forcibly when he said this, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Fathers, let's serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. for this opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for your wonderful word and the way that it speaks to our heart. It is living and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Father, please speak to our hearts this morning and help us to respond to Thee by simply saying, Lord, whatever You want me to do, I'll do it. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, come to Christ. If you're here this morning and you are saved, come closer to Christ than you've ever been. The time demands it. Father, please speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.